Praise God. We've been, for those that weren't here on Thursday night, if it's recorded, I recommend to listen to it. It's a pretty good message. I'll get a message. And I know one of the things that I shared on, and I'll just recap a little bit, is, you know, we go about our day, and we go about trying to please the Lord. Let me speak for myself. I know I go about and I get frustrating situations. I got things that come upon my plate. They aggravate me, and they're hard situations, or not necessarily aggravate me, or I go, oh crap, don't know how to deal with. And I always sometimes, I shouldn't say always sometimes, it's like a negative, but you know, it's like you're trying to, you're looking at these things, you're taking a hold on these things, and you do it somehow, and you're trying to please God in this thing, and you do it with your flesh. And it's frustrating. You try this way, it doesn't work. You try that way, it doesn't work. And you try it about this situation this way, it doesn't work. And you try it this way, and it doesn't work. You know, it's like beating your head against the wall. It's not working, not working. And one of the things that the Lord showed me was, look at what I have done. What did the disciples ask the Lord? Well, what must we do to do the works of God?
That's right.
Believe on Him who He has sent. Believe on what He has done. You know, we can go to that one, unless you hate your mother, father, brother, sister, yea, in your own life also. You cannot be my disciple. We're not putting Him first. We're not believing, and we're not taking a hold on His righteousness. Yet we, in our mind, in our intelligence, and with our own skill, we try to accomplish these things. Right? But it is God who's already won the battle, and we believe on Him. And we don't rely on this flesh. We count on His wisdom, on what He's done with His ability, not ours. We die to ourselves. We enter into His rest, which is one of the things I really want to get to today, is entering into His rest, His works, ceasing from our own. And when the Lord showed me that, believe on what I did. Look at what I did. I put all things under my feet. All. That you may be able to walk as I walked. You are my body. I have given it to you. Take hold on it. But you got to believe me. You got to believe the gospel and the power of His resurrection. Trust me. You can't do it on your own. It is He that holds that curse off. He's the one that's taken that curse off. You're bound to this flesh without Him. So it's with all the shortcomings you have, with all the inabilities you have, with all the enmity that this flesh has with the Lord, He's taken that out of the way. He has held that back off you. If you what but believe the gospel first, die to yourself, enter into His rest. It's a choice. And see, that's the beautiful thing about it. Before the Lord, we had no choice. We were stuck into the bondage of this flesh. We're stuck in our own ways. But He died that you have a choice, reconnecting your soul back to your spirit. You don't have to listen to that old man anymore. And it's He that has already accomplished it that holds it off you, that frees you up to do His will. Somehow, what kind of shortcomings or inabilities I am, the Lord's called me to do something. You know what? Praise God, I can do it. Amen. Because it's not based on my intelligence. It's not based on my ability. It's not based on any of those things. It's based on what He can do and what He has already done. What is the greatest commandment of all? Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And I might have added a few things. I can actually go to it real quick, actually. When I am. So I don't want to mess it up. And Jesus answered, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." Not doesn't say anything with all thy flesh. And the second is like, namely this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. You know what? I can't do that in this flesh. You can't do that in this flesh. Can't. But you can do that in spirit. You can do that in truth. You can do that with making Jesus your Lord and choosing Him first above all. Then He will let you. Then you will be able to, because He holds that flesh off you and He gives you the spirit and guidance to do such things. The flesh has no more dominion over you. He has given you everything you need to accomplish to walk as He walked. He commanded us to do it. He commanded us to love the God. Our God. He commanded us to love one another as yourself. And you can do that. Only in Him can you do that. Because it is His love that does it. It is His will that does it. Not yours. And you put off yours so that you inherit that better life. And you put off that death. Sometimes we think we got a life in this flesh, but we don't. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So I want to go to Hebrews. And I spent quite a bit of time in Hebrews this morning. I can find it. And you know, I kind of want to start at 2. But I'm going to go to 3. What?
Last part of 2 is really good.
Yeah? Okay. Well, I'll go to 2 then. I go to 2. I want to go to 2 to 4. I mean, I was reading it this morning. It's so good.
Last verse of 2.
You want me to start in last verse of 2? For in that He Himself has suffered being tempted, He is able to secure them that are tempted. I don't know how to say that word right. Succor? Succor them that are tempted. That means aid. That means aid.
It ties into 4.
Yeah, it does tie into four. That means to help. That means going to a God and a Lord that understands all that you're going through. All.
You just don't understand, doesn't work.
You just don't understand, does not work. But Lord, He is like this. So? But Lord, I can't do that. I'm such an idiot. So? But Lord, this is too hard. Only because you're making it be. Lord, show me thy ways. I'm trying to. Relate? So we know we can't do this in the flesh, so why don't we go to Him that has the answer? That Him, and submit unto Him that gives us that way. And gives us that love. And gives us that will to do. Think about it. He gives us the will to do. He's a good God. Let's choose to believe Him. What must we do to do the works of God? Believe on Him who has sent. That's easy. It's a choice. Well, it's simple. Not necessarily so much easy. When those waves are rising up, the storm's coming past, you hear the thundering and the lightning streaking through. Easy to get concentrated on that and not the Lord. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. It says apostle and high priest of our profession. And you look at profession as this. What do you do for a living? What's your profession? You know, when I go to work, I'm labeled as a tire manager. But in all things I do, I need to be a minister of Jesus Christ. That's our profession. More of what we proclaim, as Paul says. Well, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, you know, on along the lines of the apostle and high priest of our profession, he is the one that walked it out and that ministered to us perfectly without sin, you know. That's what I was thinking. But in this terms, as Paul says, he thinks it's proclaiming. Okay, all right. Well, I want to make sure it's clear. And I don't want to mess it up one bit. The apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to Him that appointed Him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. That's an if-then state. Now, when he's going back to about every man, you know, Moses was faithful on in his house and all things, as it testifies here, right? But so much more was Jesus perfectly obedient to the Father in all things without sin. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we if? Whose house are we if? There's that if statement. So you can't have one without the other. If we're not holding, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end, if we're not hoping that confidence in the Lord and what He has done and the trust in His gospel and what He's in His death taking the sin of the whole world and the power of His resurrection, for not holding that until the end, then we aren't in His body. You got it, and there's the attitude. You got to be rejoicing. Thank you, Paul.
Not,
oh, I deserve better than this. But that's the if thing. We go out thinking we're the body. Sometimes we're full of hatred, envy, murders. Listen to this flesh, making the flesh Lord, not Jesus Christ, the righteous. And somehow we got this assumption, well, I'm the body of Christ. Isn't that the sin of the Pharisees? There's that if statement there. Putting Him first. And we're going to go a little bit in more detail about entering into His rest and being in the body. If I hurry it up and get there. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of the temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you, an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Exhort one another. You know how you got to exhort one another and be exhorted? You got to be fellowshipping. You got to be around for that. Right? You got to be in the body. And where it says, take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. You know where it says, as in the day of provocation. You know, that provocation was, man, God show His power to Israel. Delivered them from the Egyptians. Red Sea closed up on them. Made known to the whole world that Israel is His son. And showed him, and it rained manna from heaven. They had a rock that gave them water constantly. They had everything they needed, but still wanted to return back to Egypt. Still did not believe the Lord. When the Lord says, go spy out into the land of Jericho. Look what the inheritance I'm going to give you. Two of them came back, and I don't know how many. Two of them came back and said, that is an awesome land. The Lord's going to bless us. The rest of them came back. There's giants in that land. They'll kill us. They didn't believe God. They didn't believe God. And yet, what do we battle against? The same thing. Believing God in these situations that we're in. In our daily life. Walking as He walked. Are you believing God to the point, are you walking as He walked? Goes for you guys just as much for me, and vice versa, man. It's just the truth. Are we being that body? Are we believing God? Are we believing His gospel? Are we loving one another? Are we loving God with all our heart, mind, and soul and strength? Are we loving one another as ourselves? Are we doing that? Where is that? 14. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Alright, but exhort one another daily while it is today, called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You know, we can go to Hebrews where the sin so easily besets us. So easily besets us. And we become hardened when we listen to that garbage, that unbelief, what the flesh is feeding you. It's easy. I was just talking to Linda this morning about the flesh versus the spirit. You see, God's a gentleman. And the Lord, yes, He quickens us and He gives us scripture. And the things that we can tell the difference between, does that line up with scripture or does it not? And the thing that's what I've recognized with myself, where it says so easily besets us, that sin and that unbelief is put on me. The Lord's a gentleman. You got free will. But man, that when that paranoia or that division or those thoughts that cause division within the body or the, you know, evil thinking, all these things of the flesh, man, that is just a roaring lion. That thing wants to, it's put on me, put in my mind. I got to fight against that. I got to rebuke it. I got to take authority over it. Tread it under my feet, because if I'm in His body, He has defeated all things. Heaven's my throne. Earth is my footstool. That means all things in earth is under His feet. He's accomplished that. And I'm in Him, then I'm above that. Even if I'm His big toe, man. That ball of the foot, still over all those things. And it's a fight. I'm going to go in a little bit of that later on, if I get there. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. This is kind of like that reassurance of what Linda likes. It's he that endures to the end shall be saved. Shall be saved. That's a definite. Confidence in what? Confidence in the Lord and His gospel and the power of His resurrection and it being sufficient enough for me. Cover me. While it is said, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was grieved 40 years. Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. You know, that makes it so simple for us, guys. It makes it so simple because it's not based on your ability or how good you are. It's not based on any of those things. It's based on Jesus Christ and what He has done and what He has accomplished. And that He is a good, loving Father, and He did that so that we can partake of the benefit and the inheritance of the promise to eternal life with Him. It's an awesome, awesome thing. And it's just us to just choose to believe it. It's a choice to believe His gospel or not. And I mean, we have that opportunity daily before us. As we go into work, as we go teach our kids, as whatever it is. To believe Him. Believe His gospel. Enter into His rest. Into His ability. Into His mind. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. That word is to seem. Let us therefore fear that we even seem to come close to falling from that. To come in short of that. You know, it was recognized to me the other night how much of a battle it is. I mean, it really was. I mean, I got children. I got people I come contact to. I got brothers and sisters in the Lord. And you know what? If I'm not diligent in the Lord, to seek Him in His way in all that I do, they can miss out on that blessing. They can miss out on that eternal life. If I don't lay a hold on it, I can miss out on that blessing. I can miss out on that eternal life. Because I'm too darn selfish to be about the Lord's business and loving God and loving one another. And it's a serious thing. It's life or death. When we talk about life and death in this world, nothing. Life and death for eternity, that's something. That's something to fear. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. The gospel is preached to us, it's preached to them. But they didn't mix it with faith. They didn't choose to believe God. They heard it, didn't do them any good. They didn't choose to believe. They didn't choose to practice that. An example of practicing that. Do you believe God? You're going to do what He says. Noah, it's going to rain. Build an ark. Yes, sir. No problem. Not. Really, Lord? I don't even know what rain is. I don't think that's going to happen. I'm sorry, Lord, but that just sounds ridiculous. No. Kind of like, Philip, put me first. Love me. Believe on me. Well, I don't feel like believing on you right now, Lord. I got other things on my mind. Do you want to go to hell? Well, no, not really. Can I have it both ways, Lord? No? What'd you say? We'll cook out. I don't want to cook out. Not that cook out. For we which have believed do enter into His rest. As He said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For He spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest from the seventh day from all His works. And in this place again, if they shall not enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein. And they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, He limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would He not afterward have spoken of another day? Therefore remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into His rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from His. It's not about trying to please God with this flesh. If you take a look at His ways, it is loving. And when you take upon that yoke and that light burden, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, it is easy and it is awesome. When I go to Him with stresses and all these things that are bothering me and keeping me down and keeping me from going forward to Him, and I come to Him and say, Lord, I can't handle this. Take it. I'm tired of trying to do it my way. I'm tired of trying to figure this out for myself. Lord, I'm tired of doing it this way. He takes it off. And then I can see clear as day how to go forward. And it's easy. It's easier. So much easier. That burden's lifted off your shoulders because it's all about Him and His love. And he takes that garbage off you. Let's go to the next verse. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. That laboring is fighting against unbelief. Fighting against unbelief. And sometimes it feels like a war. Sometimes it feels like a battle. But you press through till you break through to the other side. And you know when you've broken through. David talks about doubt your doubts. Put them off. The Lord's good. And when you have that and you enter into rest, it is a mind, it's a sound mind. The Lord hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. It's awesome. That's the spirit He's given us. And we simply choose it. It's there. His love is complete. It's all there laid out for you. It's a matter of us choosing to put Him first. The biggest battle we battle against is right here. Us. Our minds. That's why you go to Hebrews. So the sin that so easily besets us. And what is in that fleshly mind? It's fear. It's worry. It's doubt. It's unbelief. It's stuff that we shouldn't even partaking in. But it does come upon us. But He has given us the way out of that. We look to what He has done. He has already accomplished. That's a sound mind there, guys. Because it's not accounted on what I've done. It's not counted on my righteousness. It's all on what He has done. Man, that's a peaceful place. That's a peaceful place. You just humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. All about is just seeking what He would have you do. And trusting in what He has done for you. A loving Father. I got you covered. Don't worry about this stuff. Put it off, Philip. I love you. I'm going to bring you through. Take a hold of my hand. Better yet, let's grab onto Him with everything we got as Jacob did. Jacob wrestled until his hip hopped up out of joint. That's how we ought to be. When I think about it, not as so much for yourself, but look on your children. Look on the people outside that don't know Jesus and what He has done. Look at the people that are suffering in this world by the enemy's hand, having no light before them. Think about that. The Lord's good. And He's given us a life of peace and love. And that's what we need to lay hold on to. And we can do what He... We can walk as He walked, folks. Because He says it in here. And it's just us choosing to believe that. Believe in the gospel for you. He died on the cross for all sin, past, present, and future. How much more freeing can that be? You know what? Wake up in the morning. Jesus Christ died on the cross for me this day and was resurrected in power, and He put all things under His feet. Thank you, Lord. All that stuff from the past, all my inabilities, all those things that want to hold me back, has no more dominion over me. no more. Because He took it all for me. He laid it away. He took it all out of the way. And I can move forward in Him. Because He loves me and He's that good. And He loves those who I come contact with. He died for them too. And they need to know it. They need to know it. But if we're bound up by ourselves, we're bound up by the enemy, and all we can see is ourselves and how things are affecting us, then we won't do it. And it's that simple. And then it's just fear and torment, and it sucks. And I think we all know that. But He is good. And He's given us life. And He's given us victory. Not even death has the power over us. How awesome can that be? All those things from the past that I've done, I don't even want to think about. Good, I don't have to. He took it all. I don't have to live under that. I don't have to live under that condemnation anymore. Praise God. What's that? Yeah, nobody has to. With that, I'm done.
You know, when we're kids, at least when I was, there was punishment-reward kind of thing that people did with their kids. I mean, punished bad behavior and rewarded good behavior, right? And This simple choice is nonetheless not always so easy that we make. But, you know, we make a mistake in that assuming, some of us, that because we don't get punished immediately, that we're not going to get rewarded immediately either. But for many of us, myself included, we just thank God that the punishment was deferred long enough until we could choose Him and 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 choose Him. Because we might end up as one of the scoffers in 2 Peter 3 who says, "Oh, the Lord's He's not coming. He's not going to do anything about any of this. You keep saying He's coming. I don't see anything. Things going on just as has been for all time."
We show that in our actions.
They do what?
I said, we show that in our actions.
Right. Same game, nothing's changed. And, you know, if you've got the wrong perspective, what Peter says the right perspective is, that's grace and mercy. That the more people can come to the knowledge of the gospel. He says God is not, what does he say? Let me get there. Is not slack concerning his promises. Okay. The Lord is not slack, 3:9, 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. He's not like the guys that are supposed to be busting tires, standing out back smoking cigarettes instead of working out there moving the cars, moving the tickets, right? He's not slacker. He's not a slacker. As some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know what a great verse that is? just because I didn't get what I deserved the minute I deserved it, doesn't mean the other promises aren't promised. It means that he's gracious and merciful. And if I had gotten what I deserved when I deserved it, I'd be dead. No, I never had a chance to come to repentance. I just, Lord's good. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff is crossing my mind, and some of which I spoke while he was doing that. But this Hebrews 4 is really a great chapter. Well, the four things about getting access to God. Let us fear. Let us labor. Let us hold fast our profession. And let us come boldly under the throne. This might be the verse that I was looking up the word boldly, and it says shamelessly. How can you come to the throne shamelessly? Because he took our shame. He was made sin on our part, on our behalf. And you get down into the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, when you put on Jesus Christ and you're walking after the Spirit, and you're carrying His Word, then you can be sharper than any two-edged sword, a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the hearts of men. You know, there's a whole study we'll probably do on the Hour of Truth I want to look at about knowing God. You know, I just go back to Philippians chapter 3, that I may know Him. Right. And fellowship of His sufferings and the power of His resurrection. Well, we're out of time.